ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 जगदीश जगन्मया सर्वेषां विभावानां त्वमात्मा हे गिरीश्वर
ආදීන දවසේම ඉදවන අහං බහි එදෝ අබේ සනිතානි කල්සත්‍යම් බ්‍රහ්මජිත් භවන් මහදේව සේන්තු මාර්ෂම් දැන් the sambodhana communicate he addressed mahavishnu deva deva jagat vyapi jagadisham jagannaya sarvesham api bhavanam tvam atma hetu ishwaram as we saw last time on Sunday that the way Mahadeva has addressed is an explanation of the position, Krishna's position, that impossible sometimes to understand with the mind. Like, it's like, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita also, the food what we consume is Krishna. The person who is enjoying the food is also Krishna. And the process of eating is also Krishna. Brahmaparam, Brahmavir, Brahmalo, Brahmanavaram, Brahmavir, Enagandaramim, Brahmaparam, Samadhina, says in the Bhagavad Gita. For example, when you consume prasadam, when you feel that it has got a very good taste, that feeling of satisfaction inside while taking this prasadam, Shastra is saying, Andaryami is saying that from inside, that you are feeling that even though, why is it Andaryami saying it is like this? That when you take food, obviously this tongue, rasana, the tongue, is experiencing that, and the rasana or the tongue, it signals the mind of the taste, and the mind in turn tells the intelligence to comment on that, or in other words, to take that form of taste, take the form of taste. Buddhi can take in all the five different forms: vision, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. That's why it's called vishaya. Buddhi becomes that form. So it tastes the food, and Buddhi says that it is a very nice prasadam. Buddhi says that. But all this can happen only when the Andaryami is present inside. Only in Andaryami's presence, all these activities will happen. The tongue will taste the food, prasadam, it will send the signal to the mind, mind will ask the intelligence to verify. When Buddhi takes the form of the that particular sensual activity, and then it is experienced in the self by the presence of Andaryami, Krishna inside. So that is what it is spoken here, like that. That's what he is saying here. Sarvesham api bhavanam hetu atma. Tum atma hetu ishvara. All this is referring to that. In the same way, all other senses also. So the food that we have consumed, prasadam what we have consumed, is also Krishna. Right? That is also Krishna. Similarly, when we hear Bhagavatam also, in the same way, everything works out, right? Bhagavatam is Krishna. Person who is speaking is also Krishna, and the person who is listening is also Krishna. So, this Vidya, Bhagavatam, what is that? In the form of knowledge, Vidya Swarupam, in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's presence is in the form of knowledge. That Vidya Swarupam is Krishna. And And Krishna is present inside in both forms, Vidya and Avidya, both. Vidya or Vidya Swarupini. So, here, for us, me and you, or me and this thing exist separately. Aham idam. But in their realized situations, they don't have that perception. Me and you, separately. That dundum has gone from them. Because both in Krishna's realizations, Mahadeva's realizations and all, this separated existence is not there. Aham idam. That is not present there. That's what he's saying here. Yan mandam idam anya aham bahi. It's not there. So, normally, I have a name, and on behalf of that name, with that identity, I am accepting something and I say it is mine. Right? This is how normal transactions we are having in this world. I have a name, I have an identity with that name and form. And on that identity, somebody gives me something, I take it, and I say this is mine now. This is mine now. But in their dealings, in Krishna's dealings, Mahadeva's dealings, that doesn't exist. Mahadeva doesn't say this is mine, that's yours. They have gone beyond that. That is why this word used here. Yan madhyam adhyanta vasa yan madhyam idam anyad aham bahi. He's saying, me and yours, me and yours has gone from them. Dvandvam is not there in them. It's not present in them, right? So, that's why it's saying here, sarvesham abhibhavanam tumalma hevirishara adhyanta vasa yan madhyam idam anyad aham bahi. Yedo, you look at the next line, yedo avyayasya naidani tal satyam brahmam chit bhavan. In that one line, there is so much packed into it, right? So, he said there that like this, right? Krishna is also addressed as avyayasya. Yedo avyayasya naidani. Avya means Avya means, in him there is no changes. Like we have male, female, these concepts, it doesn't exist in them. And you cannot use the vibhakti, like for example in our case, in Sanskrit Bhasha there is this vibhakti. That means, when you use this word, that it can be, it is... there is quite a complex grammar system in Sanskrit language. Right. Similarly, gender, male, female, all these things. We'll say, Rama says this. Or they say, we are saying to Rama. Or for the sake of Rama. Or from Rama. Like this, with the individual's name, and associate with the endings, like that, right? So, separate words we have to use to separately express the point for an individual, right? But in Krishna's case, Mahadeva's case and all, that doesn't work. It's not necessary for them, right? So, that means, avyayam refers to that, the word avyayam. Avyayam means, normally you find in the Bhagavatam, the word used is Brahma in many places, right? For the sake of saying Bhagavan. While saying Bhagavan, they use the word Brahma also. We say Brahma, and in Bhagavatam, offering obeisances to Brahma. Like you can see, Lord Brahma when he came, he said, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nandagopam, Raghavasam, Enmitram, Paramanandam, Purnam, Brahmam, Sanatanam. Offering respects to Krishna as Brahmam. is Brahman, Sanatana, he says. So, in all places, you will find this usage of the word Brahma in the same way, right? Aware means there is no vayam anytime. Vayam means changes, never happens in him. That is the nature of Atma, the soul. Soul has no change. Lot of things, when you look at soul and the body, body has a birth, body has a growth, body has changes, body has a trend. It starts deteriorating and body has death. So the six kinds of changes happens to the body. But soul has no birth. Because it has no birth, it has no growth either. And because it has no growth, it has no changes. Because it has no changes, it has no deterioration. Because it has no deterioration, it has no death also. So the six things, Shat Parinamam we call it, that when the six things changes that's happening in the body, does not happen in the soul. Prabhupada says that also in his prayers. Right? So he mentions that. So, whichever way, in any circumstances, in any situations, whichever way you think about it, right? Without any changes, and without losing any of its power, that means it remains always the same, that Chaitanya or the living force, that is why it's called avyayam. While referring to the soul, it is spoken like that, avyayam. Because soul doesn't change. It has no birth. Krishna says, it has no birth. It always exists. It doesn't change due to change of place or change of time. Nothing can affect the soul. Right? So, that avyayam, one who is this and that saying avyayam, that applies to Mahadeva, applies to Mahavishnu also. And he is present in everyone. Yado avyayasya avyayasya naidani tal satyam brahma chit bhavan, he says. And avyayam, one who is avyayam, for him all these things doesn't apply, these changes, right? He is present everywhere and he manifests equally everywhere. Tat satyam brahma chit bhavan, it says. That means, he is satyam, he is brahmam, he is chit. He is satyam, he is brahmam, he is chit. Like you can see this in our ourselves, if you look, you see, when we were small, we had a boy's body. When we grew up, we had a young man's body. And then the old age, we have an old person's body. Right? Body has changed all the time. But this change that is happening in the body, I am not noticing it. I am not experiencing it. To me, there is no change. Change is happening in the body, only somebody else tells you, or when you look at the mirror. Or, the functioning of the body, you may feel some differences. But change as such, I am not experiencing that. I still feel I am the same old young boy, played around, walked around as a young man, and now in the old late days also, I still remain the same person. There is no changes happening. This is what is this aware indicating that. Aware is saying that the soul cannot experience changes. Body can experience changes. When you find that you are not experiencing these changes, the reason for that is the soul is not experiencing it. Soul is remaining the same. Changes are happening in the body. That is why Actually, what it is that when we were small, as a boy, the soul has given the experience to us in the boy's body's experience. That is what is called boy's body. Similarly, in the youthful stage, the soul has given the experience of the youthful experience. So it is a Bharadeham, it's called the child body of the young boy, and Yuvadeham, of the youth, and the Vrdhadeham, old age person, old age body. All these are different bodies that's coming, and this experiences as a boy, experiences a young man, experiences an old man, is all due to the unchanging and ever unborn vastu inside, which is the soul. That's the way to understand that. And that is what this word again is referring to. When you look at that word, you will find in many places this word used again, referring to the soul. Because Krishna, Lord Shiva, Mahadeva and all, they are aware that they don't have this experience what we have with the body. That it is getting old, it's getting sick, all these kind of things doesn't exist for them. So, Tat Satyam Brahmajit Bhavan means Satyam, because it's the truth, it is Brahma and it is the Chit. Right? So, it is explained like that, isn't it? He says, Yado Avyesa Naidani, Tat Satyam Brahmajit Bhavan, Brahmajit Bhavan. Then he's saying here, you are Sat, Sat, you are Chit, and you are Brahma. You are Sat, you are Chit, you are Brahma. Right? Satyam means that always existing, like the soul. It is a soul, present in that form. Atma. So that is why the word used is Sat. Always existing. And that means there is no changes in them. In them there is no changes. Sat. It's always Sat. Chitta means that in order that something do not change, in what form it has to remain, and it cannot be in the human form, it cannot be in the animal form, it cannot be in the bird form, right? That means it always remains as a spiritual form, living force. That means Chaitanyam. In the form of Chaitanyam it has to exist. Only if it exists in the form of Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam means living force, only then it can remain unchanging. Right? So, when it stays like that, purely as Chaitanyam or living force, it's called the Chitta. It's called Chitta. So, it says here, Satta, Chitta, Brahma. Satta Chitta Brahma. No changes happening in you. Look at the next verse. Tavaiva charanam bhojam shayaskama nirashisha visrajyo bhayada sangam munayasam upasade. Tavaiva charanam bhojam shayaskama nirashisha visrajyo bhayada sangam munayasam upasade. Why is that? With a understanding like this, with such a sankalpa, what we have spoken in the earlier verses, with such a sankalpa, one has to take Krishna shelter. And the answer for that has been given to us from ancient times by the realized souls. They have taken that shelter and they have shown to us. It is a, you know, the concept in the Vedic literature, and I am saying this specifically because nowadays particularly, there is loads of preaching going on, isn't it? All over the world. A lot of preaching is going on from Islam, Christianity and all other divisions, new religions also, Bhagavatam, Jainism, like that, so many things. So many people argue this point that things have improved from the beginning and we have got higher understanding. Now we have got the perfect thing. Vedam rejects that. Vedam says the highest understanding was in the beginning. Gradually it lost its purity and the realization, and it came down to the lower level, lowest level in the Kali Yuga, particularly in the identification with the body gets worse in the Kali Yuga, and therefore the realizations also accordingly is the worst, lowest realization. But in the highest, in the Satya Yuga, in the beginning, people had the highest realizations. They had no doubts that whether they are soul or the body. And the very existence of the body, they are never, existence of the soul, they never questioned. But in the Kali Yuga, you see how people are very difficult to educate also people in the Kali Yuga because of this problem. So it is just the opposite way it is. Like you can hear, they say that the latest scriptures, some people are arguing that ours is the latest one. All other things, like the Microsoft version 1, 2, 3, like they say Windows 1 and 2, 8. Like, so they get the impression that Krishna is releasing the latest versions all the time from there. And we got the latest one, they say. But that is not how Vedam says. Vedam says that in the beginning everything was perfect. The highest realization to the people. So here, as you go down further, then that's why always in the when Krishna says, also he will say the same thing. In the past, the rishis have spoken. Why? He takes the authority from the past. He doesn't. This is why taking authority from the past is so important in the Vaidhi philosophy. Vaidhi Rama is always taking authority from the past. They were higher situated and we are on a lower platform. Not that we got the latest version, they didn't get it. It's a funny thing when you listen to some of these preachers who present it like that. They say openly that the other literatures were meant for the people in the caves and the people then we gradually, because history says like that, isn't it? They progress gradually and came to, you know, the people who lived in the caves. We were told, taught like that in the school and colleges also, history. That man was in the cave first and then he didn't have any tools. Then he was using stones and he didn't have any pots to cook. He didn't have any house to live. And then they progressed and civilized and they got into this hell, to the world we are now. So this is how we were taught. We all believe that also. Yeah. Till we read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata and all, we started realizing the whole thing is a total blunder, disaster. So Shastram says, in the beginning everything was perfect because proper knowledge was there of the soul and realizations were there, so they did not waste their time in material development, economic development and sense gratification. It was not in their agenda, in their way of life. We fell down to such an extent that we have become part of this process, right? So what he's saying here is that, again he's saying, in the ancient times, he says, they have accepted it, and that therefore we have to accept it. That's the reason for that, right? He says, Tavaiva charanam bhojam shreyaskama nirashisha. Right? He says, Mahadeva is saying this. Again, the whole thing is referred to the rishis. Right? That great rishis who wanted perfection in their life, they, without any attachment either here or to the heavenly planets, this world or the heavenly planets, they take your shelter. The great rishis in the past, he says. In the past, the great rishis have done this. He's saying that. Right? So, and who are these great personalities? They are the ones that he's saying there, he's not saying that they were taking their shelter, even today they take their shelter. That's how he says it. That's how he has used here. Tavaiva charanam bhojam, shreyaskama, virashita, visrutyo bhaira sangam, munaya, samupasade. Munaya, samupasade. Munaya, samupasade means even now they are doing that. The rishis are taking the shelter. Right? So, disconnected from everything, without connected with anything. Alpa's nature is like that. You know that in the Pipraya Maharshi talks about that. Pipraya Maharshi says there in the Rajasthanam that Alpa has no connection with anything. Nisangala, all the time. No Sangha anywhere. But his presence is required. Only in his presence things will happen. If our senses has to operate, mind has to work, intelligence to function, and prana to operate, everything, his presence is required. Just by presence it happens. He doesn't do anything. And everything what's happening, he has no impact on him. He's just a sakshi, a witness there, to everything what's happening in the body. And at the same time, no connection with anything. Right? So earlier he said, both the drishyam and drashtavam. The vastu that you are seeing and the person who you see is the same Chaitanya that was spoken earlier. Right? So then he says, even though it is like that, at the same time, no connection with anything and does not create any changes in himself. Right? So in all places, in all forms, he manifests there as Sattva Chitta Anandam. Then what's our benefit from that? If we call for that help from that source, what's the reason why it's spoken? He has no contact anywhere. Soul has no contact anywhere with anything. Right? And when they say to us, there is a Chaitanyam, a force like that present, and he is present inside us also. And if he has no contact with anybody, then what's the point in asking for help from a person like that? He doesn't have any contact with you. And he doesn't want to be in contact with you. Then is there any benefit in taking his shelter? We should not think like that. That is the reason it is said like this. That Tavaiva charanam bhojam, because we may get this doubt that if he has no contact with us, how come he won't make any contact with us? Then we may get the doubt, if that is the case, if you take his shelter, how we will get any help from there? When we are in difficulty, if you take shelter of the Antaryami who has no contact with us, how would you get any help from him? Because he doesn't want to be in contact with us. In answer to that, that is why he's saying here, take the shelter and see what happens. He doesn't have to make contact with us. He doesn't have to make contact with us. Without keeping contact with us, still it is possible for him to do what is necessary. This is the beauty of the soul. That's what he's saying, that verse. Tavaiva charanam bhojam, shreyaskama nirashisha, visrujyo bhaira sangam, visrujyo bhaira sangam, munaya samupasate. He's saying that. So, the charanam bhojam. Now they use the word charanam bhojam, right? Immediately you will think it has got legs. Isn't it? As soon as you say charanam bhojam, you immediately think, oh, there must be some legs there to hold on to, right? Only thing is, that Chaitanyam, the soul, is presented it like that for us to accept it that way. Otherwise, when you say, where do you tie the shelter? that is that Chaitanyam or the living force, it is presented in a form in front of us, and that is this Mahavishnu's form. It is that Chaitanyam that is dressed like Mahavishnu and is present in front of us. So here, when it says Taveva Charanam Bhojanam, you take the shelter means Charanagati. Recognize the presence of that Chaitanyam in everything and take its shelter. Recognize that that Chaitanyam is present. But for us to understand it easier, it has made a form like Mahavishnu's form. And Mahavishnu has been, once you say, there has two lotus feet. But you have to understand that that Mahavishnu is nothing but that Chaitanyam, for our convenience, spoken in a way of a present as a form to us. Presented to us in the form. So what it means is, take shelter means Sharanagati, surrendering completely, recognizing that force, right? That means we leave our individuality, Ahankaram inside, and accept that He is the reality, not me. Not this Ahankaram is not the reality. And who is serving Him? Shreyas Kama Nirashisham, it says there. That those who want advancement in spiritual path, Nirashisham, right? There is a difference there. Difference is this, right? Are we taking His shelter? You see, when ordinary people go to the temple, they are not taking His shelter, right? When they say that, take His shelter, it means when we see the deity, or when you offer offerings to the deity and all, the understanding is not like the way He is spoken, Mahadeva is saying here. We keep this understanding hidden. That means it is not in our mind at the time of offering obeisances. We are still looking at Krishna and saying to Him, I am in trouble or I have some problems in my life. Please help me. That means you are looking at Krishna with this understanding that He is standing there who is capable of solving my problems. This is how I am looking at the deity. I have a lot of problems. Health problems, vasana problems, prarabdha problems, all sorts of problems, isn't it? So when I go to Him and offer obeisances, I am not seeing all this, what Mahadeva is saying here. You see, my mind is completely absorbed with my problems. So what do I do? I'm saying to Him, please help me with this, all my problems. So, can you see the difference? Mahadeva is saying to us another style of relationship compared to our relationship with the deity. We go to the majority, 99.9% in this world, they come to the temple because there are some difficulties in life. Please help, if you can help us. And so you feel some shelter there. That's the relationship between us and the deity. But Mahadeva's relationship is not like that. Mahadeva is saying, Shreyas Kama Nirashisha, means rishis, who knows what is ultimately good for them. That means they are not talking in terms of their personal problems. Shreyas Kama Nirashisha is saying that. So we see Krishna as Ishvara, who is there to help us in our problems. So our sankalpam and Mahadeva's sankalpam is different, is it not? Our sankalpam is a person who is helping us in problems, in our misery, suffering, some or the other. And we will do everything we can to get out of the problems, right? But Mahadeva is not saying like that. You see how Mahadeva is saying, Mahanavis Mahadev is saying that Tavaiva Charanam Bhajam Shreyastama Nirashita Visarjo Vaya Sangam Muneya Samupasare. So, therefore, to come to that level of prayers, to pray like that, you've got to go a long way to travel. So there is a difference in our sankalpam and Mahadeva sankalpam, right? We also want the shreyas, right? We also want to go up. But here, shreyas kama said like that. The meaning little different. We also want the shreyas. That means in our material life, we want some better situation in material life. A good and a householder life, a lot of money. This is our shreyas. But here shreyas is not used in that terminology, right? This muni, the word they used muni means that they have already understood what is shreyas means, right? Muni means, for example, you can see that mukti, stage mukti means there is no distress in anymore. Distress is finished. When you are in distress, that means there is dukkham inside, right? And when it comes to an end, you will see this in the Gajendra's prayers, right? If you look into Gajendra's prayers in the third chapter, you will find a verse there, what he says, that the end of all distress, verse 25, you see. Jiji Vishena, 8-25. Jiji Vishena, Hamihamuyakim, Ambar Bahisha, Udaye, Bhayanyam, Bhayanyam, Ichami, Kalin, and Ayasya, Viplavam, Tasya Atmaloga, Varanasya, Moksham. What does Moksha mean? You see the definition there? The Gajendra is saying there, in this eighth canto, Sadharma I'm talking about is saying, Jiti Vishena Hamiha Muyakim, Andar Bahir Chavadaye Bhayonya, Ichami Kale Na Na Yasya Viplavam Tasya Alpaloga Varanasya Moksham. He's saying that I don't want to live here, he said. Why? Because this body, which is ignorance, inside and outside, both. Elephant's body, right? This body, he says here, what is the use of having one body like this? He says that without knowledge, this ignorance in me will never go. Gajendra is saying, without knowledge, this ignorance in me will never go. And what I want is the destruction of that ignorance in me. That is what I want. Who said this? Gajendra. Look at that. Ichami kalena mayasya viplavastasya alpa logam loga avaranasya moksham. My spiritual identity is covered by the ignorance. I don't want this elephant's body, which is nothing but ignorance. And that is what I want, moksha. This body, ignorance, elephant's body, which is covering my spiritual body, spiritual nature. I am spirit, so Gajendra is saying, I have been covered by this ignorant, huge elephant's body, which is ignorance inside and outside. What's the use of having this? What I want is liberation from this body. This is how he said to Mahavishnu, Hari. Krishna came as Hari here. How many incarnations in the eighth canto, if you look at it, appeared as Hari to Gajendra. Then Ajita, to help the churning of the milk ocean, appeared as Ajita. Then came as Mohini, Dhanandari and Mohini. Dhanandari, Mohini. Then Kurmam incarnation happened. So eighth canto is full of incarnations, isn't it? End of eighth canto, then Vamanamurti. Then Malsya. So, eight candles, there are eight incarnations also. Malsyam, Purvam, and Mohini, Dhanandri. All incarnations in the eight canon. That's why canon is important, because of so many incarnations. So here he said that Tasya Atmanyogavaranasya Moksham. I want freedom from this body which is covering my spiritual nature, your consciousness. Right? So that is why Gajendra said this. I don't want anything else. When he says, when we talk about mukti, we'll say like this, whether we talk about bliss or liberation, whatever way you may address that, Gajendra said like this, I just don't want this gross body anymore, right? So, beyond all these things, there is a state which is free from all distress, and that is Shreyasa. That is Shreyasa. And realize people, and that is what will be desired by people with higher realizations, right? Shreyas Kama. Shreyas Kama. But if you ask the question, is it possible for everyone? Are we like that? No. For whom is it possible? Only for those who doesn't have desires. Nirashishas, he says. Mahadeva is saying that. Shreyas Kama, Nirashisha. One who has no desires. If we have any sankalpam inside, any desires inside to fulfill, then it is not possible to develop that shreyasa. So, we haven't reached that stage yet. So therefore, for it is difficult to pray like the way Mahadeva spoken, right? For us, all our desires are beyond moksha. Moksha is not in the top of the list. Desires are in the top of the list. Moksha is in the list, but it is at the bottom of the list. Right? So, we even don't know what moksha is, isn't it? We don't even know what that is, this moksha we are talking about, right? We are thinking that in our present understanding, moksha is like getting a ticket to go to some other world. Just like you buy an air ticket or a bus ticket, the same way, at the time of that somebody will come and hand over a ticket to us, and with that ticket you go to another place. This is how current can be understanding in us about moksha, right? Just like you can see, when they say that you are gone to Vayuntham planet, right? You think like, oh, he had left all his family members here and he has gone there. And you go there and you wait for the family to come later to join him. So all these concepts is in our head at the moment. Is it not? Right? So that is the problem. That is the problem. Here you can see when they said about moksha, when they said that, it doesn't say that you are leaving everything and going. It's not spoken like that here, right? So, what it means is that, nirashisha, he says, within yourself, while remaining in this body here itself, internally, disconnect with everybody. All relationships are being broken inside. That means attachment is gone from inside. Because all connections are inside. Bondage is inside. Isn't it? Like you can say that a man and a woman didn't know before. One day they got married. And then they're saying that I'm wife and your husband. So where is this connection came? Okay, when they perform the ceremony, they tie the sari and the dhoti together and all that. But that's only for a few minutes. Before the marriage, they didn't know even each other. But immediately after the marriage, they are saying, I am the husband, you are the wife. They start acting like that. So something has accepted inside like that, they have accepted that position and they feel that it is that how it is. And for the rest of their life, it goes in the same way. So same thing, here also, that bondage, where was that registration done inside? Isn't it? To make it strengthening, you go and register in the office or you do a fire sacrifice and all that. But actual connection is inside, you have created that. They didn't know before each other. One day they came to know, they got married and they made these connections each other. Beyond that, it has no meaning. So, connection was made in the mind. If it is made in the mind, it is possible to break it also in the mind. It has nothing to do with the soul. Therefore, only when the connections are broken inside with everybody, not only with husband, wife and children and all that, but others also, with the country, connection is there, with the society, there is a community, there are so many connections inside, right? With the company where you are working, you have a connection. So, all the connections, when it's all broken, right, then this shreyas is possible, nirashisha can happen. And only such a person who has broken all connections will feel the desire for moksha. That means there is no desires inside. Only in that state it can happen, right? So here it says nirashisha means no desires inside. One who have no desires, they will get this desire for liberation, moksha, right? And such personalities only will take Krishna shelter, right? Visarja Ubhayada Sangam. That means that both places asakti has gone, and what this normally says is iham param. In this world or in the next world, they have no attraction anywhere, right? For example, in this life, people do good things so that they acquire pious results, punyam. And then they say that we'll go to heavenly planets and there we can live happily. Every religion has that concept, isn't it? That's why all these philanthropic activities are there. That you do a lot of philanthropic activities, then you get acquired pious results. Right from Bill Gates onwards to the lowest person. He thinks like that. Their understanding is like that. That why should we do good to others? Because they feel that I have got a lot of wealth. I should use it in a way like this so that I acquire a lot of piety from that and I get a better life in my after death. So, but that even that desire has to go from inside. That is also a desire that I would like to go and enjoy in the heaven, right? So that is why when they discuss Vedanta, who is qualified? Who is qualified to take the spiritual life? What it says there, four things they talk about. First thing, nitya anitya vastu vivekam. This is the basic qualification expected from a person from who comes to study Vedanta philosophy. Nitya anitya vastu vivekam. Then that means that he must have convinced himself that everything here is temporary, nothing is permanent here. And there's only one thing that is permanent, nityam, and that nityam is I am after. He has to come to that stage. Nothing will satisfy him in this world. You give him anything, he says, I don't want it. What I want, I'm looking for is that eternal truth, satyam param dhyanam Krishna. That's one. Second one, ihamutra bhale bhoga viragam, it says. I don't want anything from this world to satisfy my senses, bhogam, nor am I interested in going and enjoying the heavenly planets. Even that desire has gone from inside. then this air is gone from inside. It is difficult to be like that. After that extreme vairagyam inside, Mahadeva's position is like that. He teaches vairagyam to us. That is why he is presented living in the cemetery, with covered with the ashes on the body, to show to us that body is going to become ashes one day. To teach us that principle, that this is how much this body is worth. What we are looking after whole life, this body, this is how much it's worth. Turn to become ashes one day. Why he lives in the cemetery? That's where this body is eaten by the foxes and the jackals and the dogs. It's their food, this body. To such an extent, vairagyam has come to him. So once you have one who has that kind of vairagyam inside, that's the second qualification. The third one, he says, that shamam, dhamam, tidiksha, ubarari, shraddha, samahana. The six kinds of control of the mind, control of the senses, extreme tidiksha, tolerance, ubarari, shraddha, samahana. Extreme attention, shraddha in the shastra, and always situated in that spiritual consciousness all the time. Never coming out from that and being able to remain in that situation. And after that one, these three. So, Nityaditya Vastu Vivekam, Ihamutra Bhale Bhoga Viragam, Shamadamani Shal Sambhati, and the fourth one is the last one, Mokshatam. Intense desire inside to get out of material existence. Some people like to exit, but at the same time attachment is here still. It hasn't gone. But all this has to go first, right? So, in order to have this fourth one, out of these four, in order to have the fourth one, you need to have the other three. That is why we don't have the fourth one. Do you know why it is like that? That's why in the past, even if a nice young brahmachari comes to learn shastram in the matham, in all the big mathams, right? First they will test how far he is in the first three. Only if he passes the test in the first three, then they will know that he is genuine. That means he is seriously inquiring the fourth one. He is not coming just to take prasadam and to find a place to stay. There is a screening process. Not that everybody walks in. When you bring all the people in the world, some people will say, alright, place is giving me enough prasadam 3 times a day and some nice place to sleep. That's all you require for spiritual life. But in the other mahams in the past, they wouldn't accept it like that. They say, if you don't want prasadam, then come. So that they won't come there. They'll go. Here we say, have prasadam, plenty as much as you want. Come. But their principle is that, having given up that desire, you may get some prasadam, may or may not get it. If you are happy with that, come. So they won't come. Let go. So this is the difference, you see. Mumukshatvam won't come easily. That's why even as devotees, we may say so many things, but mumukshatvam is not there in anybody. Most of the people are doing spiritual life, being told like that. Why go to work all the time and struggle there, being in the karmis and suffer with them? Rather, I suffer with the Vaishnavas or devotees together. And we stay in the temple. And for a few years at least, and enjoy life without too much hassle. So that is not mokshatvam. You think everybody is having such high degree of mokshatvam there in the temple? No. Even the gurus also don't know what is mokshatvam means. Right? Mokshatvam comes after all the other three has happened to a person. It's not possible that. It's not something you can artificially create it in a person. You cannot do it. You simply cannot do it. That is the way it is. So, and when all these four things comes together, then you are actually qualified for spiritual life. And it is to them all this Ekadasi Skandham and all. For them. For them it will be very, very like a sweet drink Bhagavatam for them. They will relish it in that state of consciousness. Right? So temporary things they are not after. They want that permanent thing, right? And similarly, and once you know that the happiness of this world is not permanent, it's only such a temporary thing, and then you will develop some detachment from there, and accordingly, with that understanding, once it comes to us, one will be able to control the mind and the senses. Only when this understanding is there, that again, buddhi has to accept it. If your buddhi has accepted, say for example, we all say that, oh, what is there in this life? There is not much to enjoy here and all that. You can say that, by reading Bhagavatam also you can say that. But if your buddhi has not accepted it, what will happen? As soon as the opportunity for sense gratification comes, you will jump into that. That's the difference, that's the difficulty. Buddhi's acceptance is more important than anything else. If buddhi has accepted it, then that means that you will not be attracted by the sense enjoyment, right? So due to that, you will be able to control the mind and control the... You don't have to artificially control the mind and senses, because once in buddhi, if you have accepted all these things, what Bhagavatam is saying, then in a natural way, the mind won't be attracted to sense enjoyment or the senses, right? And so this shamam, dhamam, tidiksha, ubharati, shraddha, samadhanam, these six things, is about them, these six verses. One who has got these six things. Tavaiva charanam bhojam, shrayaskama nirashisha, visrajyo bhaira sangam, munaya samupasate. It's only referring to them. Only referring to them, not ordinary people. People who have got these six qualities in them. That's why this Mahadeva's prayers is in a, for a different level of personalities. Munis, rishis, they are all the ones who fall into this category. Okay. So, he says that they, so because it is like that, when they offer their prayers, vasing nirashita, no desires inside, and visrajyo bhaira sangam, see that, nirashita, shrayaskama, nirashisha, then what else? Visarjyo bhayada sangam, he says that. Visarjyo bhayada sangam is this nitya anitya vastu vivekam has come. That means they have no desires here, they have no desires in the heavenly planet's life. There are people like that. We won't know it because there's very few only like that. But there are like that. In the history there are many people. Even today's world there are people like that who have gone up to that level. Right. And he says here, Visrajyo bhaira sangam muniya samupasade. No connection with anything. Right. Shamam, dhamam, tridiksha, ubharati, shraddha, samadhanam. And the word, he used the word muneya. Mahadeva used the word muneya. Muneya means one who has got complete control on the mind. Manasa. Muni means that mind is under control. That means their subtle body is very pure. Shuddha, antakarana. Right? And only then it is possible to receive that, possible to have that relaxation, right? And Mahadev is saying that it is those people who I have seen taking your shelter. That's what he's saying. It is these people whom I have seen taking your shelter, he's saying. And therefore, you are the person who are worthwhile taking shelter, says Mahadeva. Samupasade means that. It means they worship you, they approach you in the proper way. They approach you in the proper way. So, and they don't leave you, they hold on to you. When Mahadeva says like this, what do we have to understand? Only such people can execute spiritual life properly. Proper spiritual life is their spiritual life. To this person spoken here. Tavaiva sharanam bhojam shrayaskama nirashasam visrujyo bhayaka sangam muneya samupasade. Their upasana, their spiritual life is perfect. Not our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is, I don't know where our spiritual life is, here or there or somewhere it is. It's so different, isn't it? That's what I'm saying. This Mahadeva is referring to people who have a different level of realizations. So in all these four things, what Mahadeva has spoken, there is deficiency in us. We all have a little bit of that. Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam. We have some understanding. Ihamutra Bhalaboga Viragam. Little bit of that. Shamadamadi Shalasambati. Little bit of that. And because it's all little bit, Mumukshatam is also very little. It is a very small quantity, right? So therefore, because it is like that, our worship and our spiritual life is not completely centered around that truth also. And the sankalpam is also wrong. Our sankalpam is different, isn't it? So, here the munis, they are saying that they see Krishna as one who is present inside as Antaryami and one who is present outside as the form of this manifested world. Both realizations they have. Like we say, that you have to realize at the end the world is also Krishna. The world is also Krishna. Because world has come from Krishna. World is also Krishna, but world is not Krishna. That's how the understanding is. You shouldn't think that world is Krishna. No. World has come. When Krishna is in association with Maya, we experience this world. That's how the world is. World's existence is dependent on Maya. And when Krishna is not there, Maya cannot exist. In Krishna's presence, this experience of Maya in the form of world for us. So therefore, we say only in Krishna's presence this Maya can be present, world can be present. Therefore we say the world is also Krishna. But world is not Krishna. That's also there. That's another subject. It will take a little while to get through that understanding. So, but for us, we are not relating with this world in that way at the moment, isn't it? Our upasana is like this. Our upasana at the moment is, we have got problems in life. Help me. For that, we are willing to surrender. So that you can help me. I'm willing to surrender, but you have to help me. This is how normally a devotee or ordinary people will approach Krishna, right? So, but, and when Mahadeva says here, he is present everywhere as everything, right? Then there is no necessity for you to ask for any help from anybody. Because he is present inside me, inside everybody else. But because that realization hasn't happened to us, we are praying like that. Means all our prayers are in ignorance, basically. All our prayers are in ignorance. Right? That is the difference also. So we haven't started prayers yet, proper prayers. Our upasana also is not in the best situation, right? But there are people who are there in that state, and they take your shelter. Mahadeva says to Mahavishnu, right? Earlier he called him Devadeva, isn't it? And Jagadvyapi, what did he say?
Devadeva?
Yeah. Jagadvyapi, he said. Jagadisha, all these things, right? Jagadmaya. And as the cause of all causes, right? Cause of all causes, and present as the soul in everyone, and those who have known this, the rishis, they have decided to go after that force, Chaitanya, behind that, right? So, when we see these verses in the Bhagavad, right? When we see these verses, Bhagavatam is a Purana at the end, isn't it? It's a Purana. In this Purana, when you see these verses, we are even finding it difficult that there is a force way beyond all these things. And the world does not even think the existence of such a power beyond this world. It's not able to think, right? Because you can see that the concept of God in people's mind is different. Everybody's concept is different about God, isn't it? So, for some people, God is that person who removes all the evils in this world and he do good things. God does only good things, they say. God is love, they say. Some people say God is all good. He is God. Right? So, in different ways, different upasana, different worship, process of worship also, in this world, I'm saying. Average, normal people, I'm saying. Right? But, and everybody's sankalpam is different. When they worship God, everybody's sankalpam is different. If you look at people, everybody have a different ways of worshipping. Some people will have deities at home, and they will do some deity worship at home, and then they say that I have done my spiritual life, I go to work now, and I earn some money to make my living in this world. So there's one relationship like that. Some people, they spend a little bit more time chanting and going to the temple and get involved a little bit more. So, who is a little different than the other group? Right. Some people will only come on Janmashtami day to the temple, one day a year. There are many people like that. So, everyone's sankalpam inside is different. Right. And according to the sankalpam inside, your spiritual life also. Right? But this one, what Mahadeva is talking about is what was shown to us by the ancestors, Muni, Rishis. Rishis are our ancestors. Purviya. Rishis. They are Rishis. They are our ancestors. If they were not there, this Bhagavatam would not have come in front of us. Right? Also, all the Upanishads, all the Shastram, all this is still there in front of us. We are able to study, think about it, analyze it, understand it, hear about it. All because of they created it for us and gave it to us. So it survived all these thousands of years. Imagine, not only in Kali Yuga, way before that Upanishads existed. Even before Satyuga, Upanishads Vedam existed. And it still survived through all this time. Imagine the strength of that message. You can understand how powerful that message is. Here in this world, you write one book, right? How long people read that? That's why they know that when they write a book, it has to be sold in the publication itself. After some time, nobody's going to buy it. Then it will be lying there in that shelf there, or in the bin. That's how much it lasts here. Your books, what you have written, your me has written, that's how long it will last. But imagine these books, how long they survive, and they're still surviving. So the strength in the message. From there itself we can understand that the people who wrote these books are not ordinary people. Right? Now, when this understanding goes away from us, right, what will happen? You can see that also. In the people now, today we have more facility than any time before to print, publish and to distribute, right? So there's a lot of people writing a lot of books. So in India now, I'm just saying this, there is some authors, they realize that there is a market for religious books. But what they thought was, they will present the religious texts like Bhagavatam, Shivaram and many other literature in a mythological way, right? They call themselves as mythologists, they call it, right? So, and they start writing books in a way so that you can enjoy it like a story. And there is one person who, it's there in the YouTube, his books are sold everywhere in India, millions of copies. All the big airports you go, his books are there in the front. One Patnaik, or something like that. You find books. And you know, all the parents, they buy these books and give it to children to read it. And this person has come, and when he was interviewed, he said, his answer was like this. He said, if Shankaracharya can write a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, why can't I write? This is his argument, right? So, there is other people also, he's not the only one. There's another person in Mumbai who asked this question to him. You haven't even studied Sanskrit properly, and you want to write commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he says to him. He says, to write commentary on Bhagavad Gita, you don't need to know Sanskrit, he said. I have the proper understanding. I read the translations. Now I can write a commentary. And this commentary is sold. And that's being sold to young boys and girls. Parents are buying them and giving it to their children to read that. Imagine what will happen then when you go through these books like that. So these are the problems, right? That Rishis gave it to us in a very pure form. In a very pure form, with their realizations. And how we accept it, that's up to us. And that is why Prabhupada is mentioned there in the Bhagavad Gita also commentary, that only you should understand these books in the proper way, with the properly authorized personalities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita's introduction. Isn't it? There's so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. You can't accept everything as authorized. Like this person who is writing this, right? So, in spite of all these things, this knowledge has survived, and people who lived in the early times, they were not confused like us today, because they had no, there was no confusion like the way people are confused today. Today people are confused about it, isn't it? So many gurus coming, and so many different versions of that. And everyone is saying, mine is the right way. And that makes it very difficult. Right? So, at different times in this life, in this world, people with a different swabhav, different nature, they will inquire in different ways about the truth. That's also there. at different times in the history,
different human population will inquire about the truth in different ways. You can see that also, right? For that reason only, in the Gayatri it says, Dhyo Yona Prachodaya. Show me the, give me the right buddhi inside. Let my buddhi accept the right thing so that I don't get misguided. How important that prayer is. Because if your buddhi gone in the wrong, even if you are highly intelligent, if your buddhi has gone in the wrong way, you have gone in the wrong direction. So first, my buddhi, because buddhi is someone which makes the decision which one to accept. So they say a prayer like this, Dhyo Yona Prachodaya, show me my intelligence, the right path for the intelligence to go through. Right? And to whom is this prayer addressed to? That Chaitanya himself, to the soul, Antaryami, to show the right path to me. Right? And they will only accept it that way. And they could only realize it in that way. Tavaiva charanam bhojam shreyaskamaniraashisha visarjyo bhaya sangam neya samupasade. Shreyaskama, only for them they will get this understanding. Only they will get it. Right? Nirashisha. Then visarjya ubhaya sangam. Ubhaya sangam. Ubhaya means no sangam here, no sangam in the heavenly planets either. Both sangam has gone, right? Munishwara. So it is for these four things that we all have to first get it for us, right? But ones who don't have these four things, this Satta, Chitta, Brahma, when we say all these things, it's impossible to even get a realization of that. Difficult even to progress in this path. The difference will be there. And if you try to progress step by step, right, it is possible to reach there one day if one progressively goes in this direction. They knew this way before, long time before they knew this, right? So it is for this purpose that all Puranas were presented. What the truth that is spoken in the Upanishads? They knew, rishis knew, in one step ordinary people won't get there. Straight away. They couldn't. So therefore, out of compassion, they put the Puranas in front of us. They say, study Puranas. Purana will help you. And it will induce you to take to this process and come to the same. Upanishads are for those, for men who have these four things. Nityanity Vastu Vivekam, Ihamutra Kadabhava Virakam, Shamadamari Shal Sambhati, Mukshatam. When they study Upanishads, it will have its result, proper result. And when you remember when Krishna says that a guru, a disciple, in the 10th chapter, in the 11th canto, and if a guru with all these qualifications, and if a disciple with all these qualifications, if they meet up each other, there will be fire, he says. There will be fire of knowledge. And in that knowledge, it will burn everything into ashes. So all that is based on this understanding here, what Mahadeva is saying to Mahavishnu. But because he knew that, for ordinary people it will be difficult to come to this realization. So therefore, what they did was, they made it in the form of Puranam and presented it to us. Right? So, when we keep on hearing the Katha in the Bhagavatam, in other Puranams, Mahabharatam and Ramayanam, all these things, right? If you keep hearing this, what will happen is, slowly, in our heart, we will start thinking about this world. What is there in this world? The temporary nature of this world will come to our mind. Right? And we start realizing that
there is something more to the truth beyond this world. World is not the truth. With this understanding, will slowly come to us. Right? And what is present, what is permanent here? All this understanding. So, so that is how we come to the conclusion of the soul. That soul is a reality. Not by repeating it, but by your own conviction inside, by seeing the world and seeing the temporary nature of the world. People are coming to this world, they are leaving this world, and they are not taking anything with them. They are not bringing anything with them. They come here, they spend a few years here, they work very hard, and they acquire a lot of wealth, and then they leave everything and then they go. When you say all these things, if you keep on observing of the birth and death of people and all the suffering they go through here, all these things, if you carefully evaluate with a detached mind, you will start realizing that nothing is permanent here. There has to have something more to it than this, they show. And that is how you start slowly coming to the realization of the soul. Right? And when in the past they have accepted there was a soul and there is Atma, Brahma, Chaitanya, Pratyekatma, Chaitanya, and all different ways address their truth, right? Or sometimes they address this Bhagavan, same truth, right? And so today we call him as Bhagavan. In the past also people called him as Bhagavan. In future also they will call him as Bhagavan only. Right? So that Sankalpam is still there. Chaitanyam is present everywhere. Right? So if you look at the nature itself, no matter how many people come here and go from here, Prakriti seems to have a grip on the situation, isn't it? The planet is still existing and it is still moving in its own orbit. And sun is still coming in the morning and sets in the evening, and plants are growing here. And no matter how much we try to destroy this whole thing, ultimately it's us who get destroyed. The Prakriti seems to have an upper hand on us. We can create a nuclear war, destroy a lot. With that we won't be able to destroy Prakriti. Prakriti will still control. Okay, externally we may appear, it may appear that a lot of things have got destroyed. In that process we will also get destroyed, our existence. But still, what is created by Krishna's Maya will remain as it is. It will come back in its own way. You cannot destroy that. Maya is so powerful that even this nuclear bombs are not, we are frightened about. Why? Because we are frightened about our destruction. Therefore we are frightened about nuclear bombs. But Prakriti, you won't be able to destroy it. Right? So gradually you will realize that this creation, what Maya is presenting before us in this form, it is existing due to some presence inside there. And that is Krishna. That is Bhagavan. That is Atma. That is that Chaitanya. Right? And that is the permanent thing. This Maya, what projecting in front of us, what Maya is projecting, is not permanent. Is not permanent. This realization comes. And once that realization comes, then the attraction for the world will go from inside. But by hearing about alone, it won't happen. One has to keep reflecting on these things. Right? And that is the way to come out of asakti. When asakti builds up inside, with this way of analysis of the Maya and Maya's creation, slowly that asakti will break up inside, right? And when you have a lot of asakti inside, attachment, it is impossible to even take Puranam on board. Even Puranam on board. So, And therefore, if we say to somebody that, look, you know, you got your husband, you got your wife, you got your children, right? One day they are all going to leave you. If you say that to somebody, they are not very happy about it, are they? Nobody will like it if you tell them that, right? Why? Because their world is that. They are in that world. That attachment will be there like that. When you say all these things to them, they say, you're telling me something. Why you want to disturb my life? People say like that, don't they? When you say these things to them, right? And to them you tell them, this is all temporary. They don't like it, right? And then you tell them that your body also will go one day. Then you will put a man, he won't be able to sleep after that. He will lose his sleep after that, right? So, when you get into Bhagavad more, and you start thinking all these things, right? Only when you have absorbed all these things first, then only the concept of God will also come properly. Bhagavan Sankalpa will come inside. Otherwise it won't come. Otherwise it's all just on the lips. It's going day after day. I'm chanting, I chanted my rounds. I got initiated. And my Guru Maharaj is coming. I'm going to meet him at the airport. And you are having a program somewhere. And after that we'll have a nice feast. It will go in that way. It will be like that. And if I have questions, my Guru Maharaj bless me, you'll be alright. You won't have to worry about anything. And I'm happy, he's also happy. We can all live in that ignorant world forever. Right? But that's nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life is this, what Mahadeva is saying here. Nityanitya vastu vivekam, vihamutra bhara bhogaviragam, shamadamadi shalsambhati, mokshatvam. When these things are there in the present, their spiritual life is spiritual life. Not anything else. Everything else is just a show. It just goes on like this. In this world, right? So, Bhagavatam is saying to us how through Puranams asakti goes from inside, start realizing that things are temporary here, nothing is permanent here, and you have lost your attraction for everything, and slowly started realizing that this cannot be the truth, there has to be something more to it than that, because this creation, as it is presented before us, under the influence of Krishna in association with Maya, is this happening to us. And we are, what are we here? Nothing compared to this creation, isn't it? And we talk about and argue each other about destroying nature, destroying this, destroying that and all. You can destroy anything, but you cannot destroy this creation. That is in Prakriti's hands, Maya's hands. And she will be there as long as he wants it there. As long as Krishna wants it there. So all this understanding in the proper way will come to us from Purana. And it is at that time, and proper understanding of Krishna comes. Bhagavan. What does Bhagavan mean? Now what we do about Bhagavan? We study that word Siddhipadam. Aishwarya Samagrasya Vidya Shastriya Jnana Vairagyam. Six things, isn't it? Aishwarya Vidyam Yashasya Shri Jnana Vairagyam. Six things. Bhagavatam says that is the definition of Bhagavan. We study that verse and we start telling others, do you know what Bhagavan means? And I tell you this verse. This is how we understood Bhagavan. Somebody there who has got all these things with him, we don't have that much. We have got some percentage, he has got more percentage. Like that, we take it. In that. That's all, that's okay. Theoretically, it's fine. You can say all that things. But here, Bhagavan, how do we understand Bhagavan? When we start realizing this, that is where your realization is proper than the theoretical knowledge. Proper then, right? So, and every part in the Srimad Bhagavatam will educate us in this way. Right? We are people standing in a big shore of an ocean and counting the dust or sand, each particle, how many are there, like that. And we are trying to find out. And we will never finish that counting. And no point in knowing how many particles of sand is there, right? It has to be experienced inside. Only when it becomes experience level, you can say that spiritual life is working. Otherwise, it's all just a imagination, and you will learn like you learn physics and chemistry, and you'll go like that, right? So, for that, the first qualification says, desires have to go, nirashisha, right? and completely come to the platform of the liberation, right? So, what that means is, subtle body is pure. Shuddha Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam must be sure. And, only with that Upasana, in that situation, is perfect. And that did not happen in one lifetime. In one lifetime, it is not possible to come to that. Many, many lifetimes, you have to get this purified, this process. And in one lifetime, it is impossible. It is impossible in one lifetime. So, you saw in Churning of the Milk Ocean that first they said to us, direct all the karma towards Krishna. Bhagavad Arpanam, like Bhagavad Dharma. First thing, Bhagavad Dharma. That means all karma directed for Krishna's pleasure. And surrendering everything to Krishna. Kayenava, Jamana, Sendriyarva, Buddhyalpanava, Prakate, Subhavan. Karodiyadhyal sakalam parasmai arayana yes samarpayami. That's samarpanam, right? If we do that in this life, in that way, by executing karma in that way, then in the next life, you will get that opportunity to probe into Bhagavadam little bit more in a depth, in a deeper level. And Bhagavadam has shown, and it's mentioned there in the Bhagavadam itself, isn't it? Janmandare bhavel punyam tada bhagavadam labhe. Bhagavadam is not a lot of verses. Bhagavadam is not a book. Bhagavadam is the message. What is in the Bhagavadam? Message means the soul, Krishna. Krishna is in the Bhagavadam. So, in the beginning of the Paramuranam, when it's talked about Bhagavadam, what did Paramuranam say about this? Janmandare Bhagavad Punyam, Srimad Bhagavadam. Many, many lifetimes, if you have acted properly in spiritual life, that means Bhagavad Dharma, if you have executed, then Bhagavadam, you will get Bhagavadam, it says like that. So, so to get Bhagavadam in that way, a little bit of punyam, piety is not sufficient. Okay, you can study all the verses in the Bhagavadam, all the chapters, you know how many chapters are there, how many cantos, and you may know also the stories also of the Bhagavadam, right? But if you want to go up in spiritual life, you have to get closer to the Bhagavadam. Not knowing enough verses, chapters and stories, other things, right? And all the unwanted things enough must go, and what is required must come in, right? So, when we look at it that way, and we are unable to come to that stage, if you go back to Bhagavadam, look at it, you will find yourself in the Bhagavadam, certain words in the Bhagavadam which will remind you about this, right? And for example, after engaging in pious activities in many, many lifetimes, it is due to the result of that you get one life without desires. Suppose you have executed Bhagavata Dharma, Karma Yogam properly in several lifetimes. If you have executed Karma Yogam properly in several lifetimes, the result of that will be, you will get a life without too many desires inside. You see? When you look at a person, and if you find a lot of desires in a person, means he has still not come to that understanding. You can see Karma Yogam is the beginning of everything. Spiritual life beginning is Karma Yogam for everybody. So that is why when you know that spiritually you are not getting attracted by bhakti or by jnana process, that is an indication that you are still in the stage of Karma Yogam. And Karma Yogam means that whatever karma comes to us, like that is why the Bhagavad Gita started with Karma Yogam. For this reason only, that first is get your karma right. And that means the karma, whatever comes through us, directly towards Krishna, whichever way possible, which means we just explain, add to that some bhakti, what is possible, which is Bhagavata karma. Even the bhakti, what you can add to karma yoga, is very limited for us today. Because our bhakti is also not pure bhakti. So our shelter is at the moment is in karma yoga. So if karma yoga, if you execute many lifetimes, what will happen is, you will get another body in another life where you will be born with least desires inside. And then it gives you a good start, if that happens. Because of the birth itself, if you have not developed much desires, this running around for the whole world will stop. Acquiring wealth, family life, and all other kinds of things what comes to us in our normal sojourn through this world will become a lot easier if it wasn't there. And what else happens? Because there is no desires inside, there will be natural attraction for knowledge. And naturally all these things will make more sense to us at the moment. We are even today just checking our Bhagavatam, how far it is all correct. Why is that? It's because of this, that purity hasn't happened inside. So many lifetimes after placing Krishna through karma yoga, one comes to the another body. When you get it, your subtle body has become a lot purer, and therefore it gets qualified for jnana or bhakti, right? So and also it said that due to that only this will happen, that you will get a desire to chant the holy name, right? And that is due to in previous lifetimes activity, some attraction for spiritual life, right? Rukmini Devi mentions this in the Bhagavatam, right? She says there that, you remember in Rukmini's words, if I have done something in my previous lifetimes, Rukmini Devi says that. If I have done something to please you in my previous lifetime, in this lifetime, I am asking for your personal help, association. So you can see, Rukmini Devi is saying this, right? That in previous lifetimes, I have acted properly. What that means is, I have executed karma yoga properly. Of course, this is not applies to Rukmini. This is teaching us the principle behind it, right? So, if whatever I have done in those previous lifetimes, if there is any benefits, anything results from that, then I am offering all that now to you so that I can have you to Krishna. She says like that, right? So, to the extent you engage in the selflessly in karma, execute karma in this world, to that extent, the next life you will have that improvement, your existence, in the improvement. You saw this Prahlada. You don't see him having read Bhagavatam anywhere, isn't it? Right? Therefore, about Prahlada, did you see what they said? Naisargika Rati, says about Prahlada. Naisargika Rati means he got everything at birth itself. How did he get that? From previous lifetimes, right? Previous lifetime means who is Prahlada? The four Kumaras took that form. So that means this Vasana in Prahlada didn't come in this life. It came from previous, prior life, and their knowledge and that everything. It was not difficult for four Kumaras to come like in the Prahlada's form and to speak like this, the way Prahlada spoke. So it's only due to the previous lifetimes that will come as their next life. That is first thing to be established. It's previous lifetime that is coming now, and its current life and plus previous life will be the next life. So according to one's activities, Krishna will guide them and direct them in their life also in future. And they will not be like anybody else, those who have gone this way. They will not be like other people, right? So, because the desires are not there in them, and their Shraddha will come to this topic very early in life, right? And when that time comes, at the right time in life, they will switch to spiritual life without any difficulty, right? And that is how it happens in spiritual life, right? And there are people who come with birth itself. If you observe in the world, you will find people who are not very attached to material happiness, who are not attracted a lot by the material opulences, material comforts and all that. And there are people who have taken to proper sannyasa ashram in the early life, in gone away in that direction. They don't have much of a desire like that. So you can see people who take to sannyasam in the early life, and you can also see people who take to sannyasam later in their life, right? Well, why did this difference come between the two? Some people take sannyasam much early, and some people take to sannyasam much later. Where did this difference come from, right? Like, how come Acharya Swamiji became Shankaracharya at the age of 8? How come Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took to sannyasa ashram? How did all this happen? That's all because of this. Right? And all of them were able to leave home and walk away at such an early stage in life. Right? And there also, you can say very confidently that they were also in their previous life, because we don't know who they were in their past. Okay, we say Chaitanya is Krishna or Shankaracharya is Shiva. We say all that. But we also have to remember that they also had previous life. They also had previous life, which we don't know. But that life must have been exemplary. Their desires and their advancement in spiritual life has already happened in many lifetimes before. That is why in this lifetime they start, the starting itself was from a very high position. All the acharyas are like that. They start their spiritual life from a high state. Everybody is in the same race. Somebody starts from here, somebody starts from there. That's what it is. Right? So only a jiva who has performed these activities in several lifetimes, sal karma, Bhagavad Dharma, Karma Yoga, all executed, only such a jiva can have this thirst for knowledge and thirst for self-realization at an early age in this life. In this life. So it's a gradual thing that happens over several lifetimes. Right? Several lifetimes. And when it has come to that stage, and when they appear in this world, they shock us, don't they? When they appear in this world, and when you see their activities, we are shocked. Seeing their renunciation, their detachment, and their knowledge, everything, we get shocked by seeing that. On this Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.